Hello. In this exciting episode, we're going to talk about play-by-message gaming. It's an umbrella term that covers play-by-mail, play-by-email, play-by-message board posts, and even now, play-by-Google+ or other social media. This is a really easy and valid way to get in your gaming when you just don't have time to dedicate a single block of 4, 5, 6 hours to your game. I'm Troy, aka Caffeine, and welcome to the OSR Podcast, where I discuss concepts, products, ideas, and tips for getting the most out of the classic editions of the world's most popular role-playing game. We all know who that is. Hint, hint, hint. The notes for this show can be found at theosrpodcast.caffeined.com/3. This is actually the third episode, even though chronologically it won't appear that way. That's because I did the reviews as their own sort of bonus episodes, but this is the third actual episode. Okay, so let's dig right in. I kind of want to talk about my roots a little bit. Like a lot of people, I kind of gamed in hills and valleys. Sometimes I would have a gaming group that was pretty regular and pretty stable for a year, maybe even two. Then I would, you know, go through a period where I just didn't game a whole lot. You know, I'd have months, years where I couldn't game because I just didn't have people around me. When I was a kid, it was often because we would move and the new neighbors wouldn't be gamers. And then I would move again a few years later because my parents moved around a lot. And the new neighbors would be gamers and I'd start right back up. Or I would go through grade in high school where the guys I'd gamed with last year weren't in the same grade. Well, that was when I was a kid. As an adult, it's mostly been like, you know, go through block time where I'm in school. Then I have some time where I actually get to game with a few guys. And I go through a block of time where I'm working. Then I have some time where I get to game with a few guys. And things change with the career and I'm doing something else and so on. So, how do you fill those gaps? Right now, I'm kind of in the middle of a gap. I have a daughter, and unlike a lot of gamer parents, I can't actually game with my daughter yet because she's not old enough, right? Gamer's dilemma. You want to breed up a gaming group, but it takes time. And my girlfriend would game, but if I find a group to game with, then I'm gaming and she's not, or she's gaming and I'm not, because it's pretty hard to find a group where everybody has kids, you know, and we can all game together. If you're that lucky, I envy you greatly. I'm just saying it's something I haven't been able to accomplish. So I fill in that time in between, like right now, with text mode gaming. For kind of a broad term, I suppose. What do I mean by that? I mean games that are primarily delivered via text. I used to play in like chat rooms and stuff when I was younger a bit. Because you could do that while you're doing other stuff. You can find random people online. It's a little, for some reason, for some people, there seems to be a bit of a barrier to doing, say, a Skype call or a Google Plus hangout. Because, you know, they don't necessarily want to share video or audio with people. They just want to type in and have it be kind of anonymous and just get their game on. When I was younger, we used to do it through IRC and AOL's chats a lot. It's a lot of fun. Another thing I used to do a lot of is choose your own adventure novels. I did not do things like the Tunnels and Trolls solo adventures. But that's only because when I was a kid, I didn't know about them. I wish I had. If I had a time machine. Because those are really cool. And I've actually played through a couple of those on my own, even as an adult. It feels a little silly, you know, sitting there playing D&D with myself. But I don't really care. I'm old. I can get away with it. But I would do a lot of choose your own adventure novels, things like that. I never really got into play-by-post when I was younger. I think I played by email a couple of times, maybe. But that was rare and on weird early AOL email. So, don't think it was really a big part of my gaming life, but I am trying it again now. I've tried it a few times over the last few years and I haven't had a lot of success. I'm having a little more success, but it's mostly because I found a group of guys who are either in the same boat or they are in the same boat as far as just, you know, needing to get their gaming fixed, but not having regular blocks of time they can schedule out to game with. So I'm seeing how that's going. I've just started it, but it's kind of a new thing for me. I'm using Google Plus. I'm going to talk about all the different types of play-by-post or play-by-message gaming you can do. I will come back to Google+. I have thoughts on it, good and bad. But it's what I'm doing it on now. I'll also talk a little more about the game and kind of what we're doing with that, too. So some people are kind of interested in play reports and that sort of thing. So now that I've kind of gone over my roots, let's roll back a bit and go to the roots of play-by-message gaming. Play-by-message gaming actually predates playing, you know, Dungeons and Dragons or modern role-playing games over, you know, the mail or email. Play-by-post-gaming goes all the way back to early games like Diplomacy and other games that sort of formed the root of role-playing games. These were really great games because they were games, like in the case of Diplomacy, there was a lot of interplay you could do. In some ways, a game like Diplomacy is actually better suited towards this kind of gaming than a role-playing game, because you can send not only, you know, messages with your moves, but you can also have diplomatic relations with the other gamers. You could write up big, you know, letters and mail them back and forth and really get into it and kind of, you know, play up the role of a diplomat, playing this guy against that guy, reaching out to them for aid. I've read a bit about Diplomacy. I've never played it, but the more I read, the more I think it might be cool. A big part of me thinks I'm never going to be that kind of gamer. Like, if I sit down to try and do it, as cool as it sounds on the outside when I'm in it, I don't feel like I'm that diplomatic a person. I don't think I could do those kind of power plays, you know, in the grand Game of Thrones scheme of life, I am neither a Varys nor a Littlefinger. I can't play the games. Or a Wormtongue in the case of Lord of the Rings, obviously. I think that was the guy's name. So yeah, that's not a game I would necessarily play. Still seems like an awesome game, though. And, you know, around the same, like, after role-playing games kind of became bigger, you started seeing first a lot of players playing by correspondence, just mail, you know, back and forth. They would play really long, drawn out, sometimes pretty slow D&D type games. And then you saw automation. You saw a handful of companies invest in either a system they could do by paper or a computer-based system to play role-playing games. This is where you get companies like Flying Buffalo and Harlequin Games, who does the Legend series, which is, I believe, a licensed Lord of the Rings play-by-message game. Flying Buffalo does a couple of different play-by-message games. They're usually, I believe, smaller press games. I don't think they do one for Tunnels and Trolls, although I do think they do one based on the setting for Tunnels and Trolls, but I could be wrong. But all these sort of... They took a next logical step, which was accepting that, you know, the mechanical bits were kind of dull. They created an automated system to handle the mechanical bits. The problem, of course, is that the part of play-by-post that's sort of the best is the role-playing, and that kind of gets lost in the mechanical bits. I believe in most of these systems, when you communicate with other players, the system forwards along your messages. I could be wrong. But yeah, so I don't know how fun those are. I've never played them. I'm just talking about them as the history because I know they were out there and I've seen accounts of other people playing them. Some people had a heck of a lot of fun. Some people, not so much. It just seems to kind of be a mixed bag depending upon the system and the company handling it. For a lot of people, though, it's basically just like a, you know, long-running board game. You know, it's like playing chess by mail. You just send your moves. The system calculates it, sends you the results, you send more moves. Not a lot of interplay or, you know, character development or story development, but it's fun. But, you know, there were quite a few services, and some of them still exist. Legends game is still going, Flying Buffalo is still going. There are still groups playing Diplomacy by mail. So it's not something that, like, used to exist. It still exists. It's just nowhere near as popular. Play-by-mail games gave way to play-by-email games, which have given way to play-by pretty much any service you can think of games. You can play them on forums, you can play them on Google+, you can play them anywhere. And, you know, we can kind of drill down. So the play-by-mail seems to have gone the way of the dodo. I don't know of too many people actively playing by mail, mostly because of how long it takes. I mean, a play-by-email game takes a while because essentially you send your email as the game master, and then you wait for all your responses, right? And that can take a while, you know, just because you're playing around people's schedules. You can wait a few days, or you can wait a day, however long you decide to go. And then after you have everybody's moves, you post the next segment, and then everybody sends you another set of moves, right? Play by mail, that takes days. Play by email, that takes seconds. But again, you're waiting in between, so the days multiply with the play-by-mail option. Playing digitally in any format is going to have that same benefit, though. And for some reason, I'm not entirely sure of, most people do not like playing by email. I don't know very many play-by-email games out there either. I've looked. I've tried to run a few. Everybody always suggests playing on a forum or playing on, like, Google Plus, something like that. It seems the general preference is for those services because you don't have to manage your own emails. You don't have to save them or store them or anything. You just go to a designated place and they're all listed there, so you can see all the old ones and new ones. And depending upon which service people like, if they like a forum or if they like a social network, it largely seems to be a matter of the system they are most comfortable with retrieving information from. So if it's something like Google Plus and they're more used to dealing with Google Plus, they like being able to go through, see all the different posts, see their relevance based on who's talking about them, go back to other ones, you know, see different categories of posts, something like that. That's a thing. Some people prefer it in a forum because you can create more of a division using different boards and stuff based on all that. So you, instead of having, you know, your out of character and your in character comments be two different categories that all show up in one continuous feed, you can have them as separate boards. I see the value in this, but I still kind of, I think it's because way back when I did play a few games on Usenet, and I kind of like doing that, even though playing on Usenet is kind of awkward. It was local Usenet, so I don't think it would be archived anywhere. At least I've never been able to find it. But I prefer play by email, even though I don't get to do it very often. I think that was the better system of the couple I've tried in the past. And so that's going to get into my feelings on playing by Google Plus as I am now, which is, if I could go back in time, I would have stuck to my guns and played it by email. Google Plus isn't bad, but I think social networks do a few things that sort of screw with the order of posts. Like in Google Plus, it'll be by popularity. Facebook does a lot of weird different systems where you may not even see posts from some people just because they'll do a sample, and then depending upon the interaction with that, they'll expand it out. So even though you're on the board, unless you go in specifically and check that, if you're just relying on it showing up in your feed, it wouldn't necessarily. There are also options to do it like on a blog or a wiki. I've seen people try and play games there. It just gets increasingly awkward, in my opinion. I think the best bet is to have like an email list and then have a system that archives those emails, which a lot of email lists used to have. You don't see quite as many of those floating around the internet today, but I believe Yahoo still runs their group system, which is basically just an email list with an archive. So functionally, it's no different than how we used to do it. So I'm still not entirely sure why that's not more successful. Of course, I'm a bit of a hypocrite there for saying I don't know why it's more successful. I don't play very many games, or rather, I play no games currently on Yahoo groups, and I haven't even checked any Yahoo groups for a while. The one I believe I was still a member of died a while back, so I don't use the service, so it's a bit hypocritical to say I wish everybody else did, but it does seem to be the only one out there that provides a really good free email list and an archive option. So I would probably, where I'd roll things back, go with that, because one of the problems with using Google Plus for this is that whenever I put in a second post or a third post, players may not see it, because if they're still posting on the old post, it'll show up first because it's more popular, and players might not even realize I put up another post. Now, I do my posts as regularly as I can, wrapping around my schedule as both a parent and a student, but it still happens that I do post occasionally a little bit late, so my players have gotten used to my posts may not appear right away. And with the way Google Plus works, they sometimes aren't even sure my post has appeared yet. They'll just keep posting on the old one because it's the one everybody's posting on. This has already happened once and a little bit twice, actually. It kind of makes it awkward to follow. Sometimes I actually this last time I posted the new post in the comments to the old one in hopes that they would move over to it. I haven't seen anybody post just yet, but it's also a holiday weekend, so I may not. Anyway, so that's kind of some of the options. I'm sure there are more. I'm sure there is a whole nebula out there. I will say this. I've seen quite a few options for Not just things like this, but things like IRC and various like formats and forums out there. One thing I don't like about most of those that I've seen is a lot of them seem to be very focused on things like freeform role-playing that. They've sort of spun out into their own community. So trying to play something conventional like, you know, BX Dungeons & Dragons or Traveler or something like that. You know, more traditional sit-down RPG with a game master, players, rules, yada yada. That, you may have trouble gaining traction in any of those communities. Not saying you can't. I don't game in those communities. But it might be a problem. I know I had some rough experiences trying to explain, I believe it was the Dark Mist IRC network, trying to explain to people that I was trying to get a actual game of Dungeons & Dragons going and not some kind of free-form role-play thing where everybody just does whatever they want. It was a hard sell that I ended up giving up on. If I had worked a little harder on it, I probably could have pushed something through there, but it didn't feel like it was really worth my time. I felt like I was going to be wasting other people's time trying to, you know, con some people into the idea. I don't know. I really don't think I would try again right now anyway, because as I said, it's a time constraint issue, so that's why I'm talking about play-by-post. Another variant of play-by-post, though, could be, I haven't seen it yet, but I have seen a lot of talk about it and interest in it, playing by Discord channel. And an advantage there is because Discord channels just sort of stay persistent, I mean, chat rooms kind of do too, but with the Discord channel, you know, if you put a comment up there in a channel, it can just hang there until somebody else comes in and you know, hits something there themselves. With IRC, that's true as well, but new people popping in won't necessarily see it unless they, you know, have a bot running or something that can archive it for them. But with Discord, you just scroll back through the chat. So I have seen on the Tankers Tavern Discord channel a little bit of talk about maybe doing something like that with a few folks. I'm not a part of that, but I've just been watching other people talk about it. I believe there was also a little bit of talk about that on the Frog God Games Discord. By the way, if you haven't joined either of those, join both. They're decent communities and a lot of old school guys. Frog God Games has support for Pathfinder and that, because they do publish Pathfinder material. So if that's not your bag, go there anyway. I go there all the time and just talk to old schoolers. That nobody seems to mind. Even the Pathfinder guys are willing to talk about the old school here and there. But Tinker's Tavern's Discord channel may be a little better for you. And he's got his right in the sidebar on his website, so you don't really have to poke around for that one. Just go right there and hit it. I'm on there fairly often, so there's that. But yeah, both of those are good, and that's in our way. Also, you can do voice chat games, which is kind of out of the purview of what I'm talking about now. It's more like playing, you know, say a Skype game or Roll20. But they're going to be doing pickup games. And I may try a few of those to help with the time constraints. So if you do pop on those and you see me on there and I'm saying I'm going to run one, pop in and have some fun with me. But that's about all I can do on that aside. So back to the main topic. Right now, I think the best option for play-by-message is probably still email. I know it's a bit dated, but it works. If you can find a list server that can handle your mailing list for free, and you can find one that archives specifically, I would say go with that above all the other options. Second to that, I would say that a forum is a way better venue because you have less manipulation of your content for the sake of social networking. But if you're just looking for an audience, a community of gamers that you can get, as much as I'm kind of having issues with running a game there, Google Plus is a great place to find players because there is a very large OSR community on there that posts pretty regularly. It's pretty active. If you pop up in a few places and say, hey, I'm looking for gamers, you'll probably find some pretty quickly. I did. So it's not, in my opinion, it's probably the worst format for doing it in, but it is the easiest format for finding players in. I only chose it as the format to do it in because one of the players who's playing, who does quite a bit of gaming himself, recommended it, and I thought I'd give it a shot. But that's kind of my two bits on that. So I'm going to transition here and talk a little bit about the game I'm actually running. To save myself quite a bit of time and effort, I actually kind of chose a couple of shortcuts, which have worked out okay. The setting is more of a general fantasy, kind of Mediterranean. It's loosely, I want to say it's loosely post-apocalyptic. I say loosely post-apocalyptic because unlike a full-on post-apocalypse setting, the world ended, like there was an apocalypse, but it was a while ago. A lot of stuff has happened in between. It's not as important. It's not really like a dying earth type thing because it's just not that, you know, like it hasn't had that many cycles of civilization. Everything fell. There was an extended dark age. May have lasted thousands of years for all anybody knows. A lot of things in the world changed over that period. The environment began to recover, you know, within the range of a few hundred to thousands of years ago. Humans started sort of retaking things and finding that there were all kinds of weird things still left around. So it's got elements of more of a Points of Light campaign, even though its backdrop is post-apocalyptic. And I did that specifically because I like Points of Light campaigns. I like to be able to have a little bit of more recent, better history and fluctuations and stuff like that. But I also like the idea of this long period where, you know, demons and horrors and mutants roam the land, because that means there's lots of weird stuff still left there for the players to investigate, fight, whatever. You also have kind of a built-in reason for how all the demi-humans and stuff got weird, because they were the ones who were sort of out beyond the gates. They were the ones living out in the wilds, getting mutated, learning the new magics, making deals with the devil. Dwarves hid in their little holes, but, you know, it turned out that all the weird stuff happening above ground was also happening below ground, and so they really didn't escape it. It basically is a fantasy setting that justifies itself, but also justifies a premise that leaves a lot of room for adventure, right? It's wild, it's woolly, you may find ray guns and ancient televisions and crap in a deep, deep dungeon. But you can also find relics from more recent civilizations, you know, things that arose and died during the apocalypse, during the Dark Ages, things that, you know, relics from the last big empire of humans that swept in after things started to get better. There's a lot of room there for playing around and goofing, and I can set almost anything. Just, you know, if there's a published module I want to play around with parts of, I can take them, drop them right into the setting. They're probably not going to mess anything up. So I like that. It also gave me an excuse to defer any attempt at improving my rather crappy mapping skills. Because I'm just using the Southern San Joaquin Valley of California for the map. I'm putting my own, you know, villages and ruins and relics and stuff on the map. Right, there are trade routes and former empires in California Central Valley and all that. That have risen and fallen. So the map, I don't need the city locations or anything like that. I can come up with my own stuff for that. It's just basic geography. So you don't have weird things like the sort of weird T and C shape on, you know, the map for Middle Earth or other weird geological shapes that don't make a lot of sense. It'll be, you know, a consistent map that looks believable because it's a real place. Probably a lot of the same reasons why Gygax and Arneson sometimes did that with some of their stuff where they use like maps of the Midwest and things like that. It just makes it easier for a lazy game master. And I'm really enjoying the time Play by Post gives me to sort of build up ideas and stuff in my head before I throw them at the players. You know, normally you'd only have the time between games, but I have time between moves. It does drag out the adventure a lot longer. We get a lot less done over time. But in that interim time, I get a lot more time to build in the setting. So I'm really enjoying that. I'm definitely a fan of this style of play. Even though it's not my favorite venue, it is becoming increasingly a preferred style. I may do more play by post or play by message content as we go on. We'll just have to see. I think this is going to go relatively well for a while. I may get another one going. It depends on time constraints, that sort of thing. And I also kind of like that it's an older style of play with older style games that I enjoy. So, even though I'm not into the OSR specifically, you know, out of a feeling of nostalgia, I really do genuinely enjoy the mechanics, the game, the style of play. I don't think that's entirely colored by my own childhood. Because if it were, it would be, you know, crappy knockoffs of Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. Because I didn't play BX that much when I was a kid. So, you know, this can't be nostalgia because BX isn't specifically nostalgic for me. The only parts of it that are the later Mystara stuff that was published for Basic. I ate that stuff up. But I use it interchangeably with the Advanced Dungeons & Dragons stuff I had. So, you know, I mean, there's no strong nostalgia with that specific part of D&D that I really enjoy now. So I think it is mostly because I like it. But when you throw in, you know, sort of an archaic way of playing and you're playing the older game, there is a cool nostalgia feeling. So I'm not going to deny that. I really do enjoy it, and I really do get a kick out of doing it this way. I'd love to do it via IRC or some other older way of gaming. I think that might be a lot of fun. I would try play by mail, but I have a really bad feeling that that would just be too slow and too easy to fall apart without a lot of sort of special circumstantial stuff, you know, where basically I like write every post like it's a code, like a program. So you would have, like, you know, your big block at the top that's probably going to happen, and then, you know, some conditional stuff depending upon what roles happen, and then maybe some conditions of that. And then I, as Game Master, would have to sit down and turn all of that into a narrative after rolling everything. I think that would probably be more trouble than it's worth. But, you know, there's always the future. I've always got free time in the future, imaginary free time. Anyway, this podcast is going to be a little bit shorter than the previous ones. I am finding that trying to do full hour ones is kind of eating into my time. They're a little harder for me to clean up the audio on because I do just record on a telephone, my cell phone. It's what I have handy. I don't have a fancy mic yet or any kind of recording hardware. So I do this, and then I edit it on some software on my computer. And it's a Chromebook, so it's nothing especially fancy, and then I send it out. But I'm thinking maybe I'll try 30 minutes for a few episodes. So let me know if you like it or you would prefer them to be longer. I can maybe try and make them a bit longer by, you know, doing like I did with the first one and kind of breaking them up into more segments to stretch them out. Rather than just doing one thing, I can kind of keep it going. But I am going to... I will not be posting as regularly as I did last month, because that was kind of insane. But I will be doing two, instead of committing to 1 half-hour episode a month, and then whatever bonus stuff I do, I'm committing to 2 half-hour shows. So I'm having the time, but I'm promising at least two on the first and third Monday of each month. At worst, it'll be posted on Tuesday, but I will do it towards the beginning of the week on both the, you know, the first and third Monday. And then if I do any additional content, most interviews now, I think I'm just going to roll into normal shows. But if I do something special, if I go somewhere cool or whatever, and I just want to get one out there, there may still be bonus content. So if you are listening, I don't really know what my audience is or how many of you are out there, but if you're listening and you have an opinion on this, go ahead and post it. You can find the notes for this at theosrpodcast.caffeine, that's caphein.com/3. Thank you for listening. Have a great day, guys.